Thank you.
Is this on? And I bring you greetings from Seattle, Washington. They're praying for you today. And it's just such a privilege for me to get to worship with all of you, because we're on opposite sides of the world in our lives, but we're all the same family, aren't we? And we all love the same Father and the same Son. So I just enjoyed meeting other brothers and sisters here in Penang, and I know Judy has as well. So thank you for welcoming us to your beautiful city. And I want to bring God's word to you this morning in a different way. Some of you may be familiar with it, and some of you may not. But God teaches or taught through stories while he was on earth. And so I am going to bring you his word through a story. Now, before I start this story, at this time, there were tax collectors, and they were employed by the Roman government, and so they were greatly disliked by the Jewish population. Also, they were often dishonest by collecting more than was necessary and pocketing the extra for themselves. Now, just before this story starts, there was a crowd following Jesus because he had just finished healing blind Bartimaeus. And he was traveling towards Jerusalem to the cross for his death. And that's where this story begins. Jesus entered and passed through Jerusalem. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but he couldn't because of the crowd and because he was short. So Zacchaeus ran ahead. He climbed a tree, a sycamore tree, because Jesus was coming that way and he could see him. Now, when Jesus reached that place, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately, for I must go to your house today." So Zacchaeus came down at once and greeted Jesus with joy. But the crowd complained and murmured, "Jesus is going to have supper at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said, "Lord, I give half of all my belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone wrongly, I will repay four times the amount." Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house, for this man, Zacchaeus, is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And that is the end of the Bible story. Now, I'd like you to help me just put this together again, just one more time before we talk about it. So if you will join in with me, and we'll do this story together. Jesus entered and was on his way through, what was the name of the city? Jericho. And there was a man there named, what was his name? Zacchaeus. And he was, I think I forgot to say this, he was the chief tax collector, and he was very rich. Now, Zacchaeus wanted to see what? Jesus. But he couldn't because of the, and because he was, So Zacchaeus ran ahead and so he could see, because Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached that place, he looked up and said, and saw Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I must go to your house today." So Zacchaeus, oh, he was so embarrassed, he hid being found in a tree, right? No? What did he do? He came down immediately and greeted Jesus joyfully. But the crowd murmured and complained, "Jesus has gone to the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said, "Lord, I give how much? Half of all my goods to who? To the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I will repay how much? Four times the amount." Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house, for this man, Zacchaeus, is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come for what purpose? Seek and save that which is lost." Thank you. You know, I was thinking about this crowd coming, following Jesus after seeing the healing of blind Bartimaeus and their entering and going through Jericho. And Zacchaeus is trying to see, but the crowd is not letting him in. I'm wondering, do you have any thoughts about this crowd? What do you think of them? What kind of people are following Jesus? Any thoughts? What? Needy people? Needy people. Mm-hmm. Curious. Good. And they're following him. And they've just seen Jesus doing something. They're needy. They're not letting Zacchaeus see. Any thoughts on that? That's true. They didn't like Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. Oh, just thinking about themselves. Okay. So we see Zacchaeus. He's wanting to see Jesus, and he can't because of the crowd, and he's too short. I'm wondering, and he wasn't liked either, I'm wondering if Jesus could have Zacchaeus could have chosen to do anything else besides, you know, when he tried to see him and what he chose to do, run ahead. Is there anything else he could have done when he wanted to see Jesus, do you think? Run away? Anything else? Oh, pay Jesus to come and see him. Yeah, he was rich. And he's very important. I couldn't hear in the back. But maybe he had some bodyguards or servants. He could have had them put him on their shoulders, maybe. Or had them push their way through the crowd. So he could have done other things, but we see what he did. Now let me describe him a minute. He's very important, and they wore long robes in those days, and his was probably pretty fancy. So he runs ahead on the road and climbs a tree. Now, what do you think anybody in that crowd, any of the people, might have thought of Zacchaeus when they saw him running down the road and climbing a tree with these long robes? What do you imagine they thought of him? Crazy? Foolish? Laughing at him? Mocking him? But we see him running and climbing the tree. Do we see him responding in any way to what the crowd might have been doing or how they might have been reacting to him? In this story, what does it seem like Zacchaeus' focus was? Just to see Jesus. That seemed to be his only focus. So, we see Jesus walking down the street and stopping at that tree and looking up. Now, when a leader, because a lot of people were following him, or when someone stops and looks up, what does everyone else do? So everybody is seeing this man in the tree. And for Jesus just to be walking along, and he didn't seem to be engaging with anybody in the crowd, but he stops and he engages with a man that's in the tree. And everybody is looking at him. Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must go to your house today." Does that show us anything about Jesus? He what? He knows him by name. Amazing. So the fact that Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name, what does that show us about Jesus? All knowing. Anything else? Personal. Wow, personal. Merciful. He what? Knows our intention. Good. And is he, does he seem to be a normal man that he knows his name? Does he seem to be like a normal man? I'm seeing no. Yeah, most people don't know strangers' names, do they? I mean, I'm sure he didn't wear a big name tag around his neck. And we know from the story that Zacchaeus had wanted to see him, or see, he wanted to know what he was about, so obviously he didn't know him, they hadn't met. So he knew his name. And remember, he's on his way to Jerusalem, to the cross. But he stops for this man in the tree. What does that show us about Jesus? He was seeking him. He knew who was seeking him. Good. Interesting. Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, and now who is seeking who? Jesus is seeking Zacchaeus. Yeah. And what was more important to him? I mean, Jesus was on a very solemn mission. But what was more important to Jesus at this moment? Zacchaeus. And who is Zacchaeus? I mean, in the people's eyes, he was a bad guy, yeah, a sinner, disliked. He wasn't the popular guy in town that everybody would think Jesus might have stopped for. No, he was disliked, unpopular, not someone that they would think would be deserving of Jesus stopping. So, we see that Zacchaeus responds to Jesus. He immediately comes down joyfully, but the crowd is reacting. Murmuring, Jesus has gone to be the guest at the home of a sinner. So, what do you think the crowd thought about themselves? Righteous. Not sinners, huh? So, but Zacchaeus probably knows that he's considered a sinner and is a sinner because he knows he's probably been dishonest. And Jesus chooses to go to his house. So, when Jesus is in front of Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus has come down the tree, Zacchaeus says, I give half of all my belongings to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I'll give four times, or repay four times the amount. Does that show us anything about Zacchaeus right here? It's repentant. Shows a real change of heart, doesn't it? And just think, you know, he's a rich man, but if he gives half of everything he owns and repays four times what he's cheated people out of, what's that going to leave him with? Bankrupt. He may not have a lot left. So is this a sacrifice for Zacchaeus? Is it easy for him to do? There's a cost for Zacchaeus to do this. And yet do we see in the story that he even thinks twice about it? So what does it seem like at this point? I mean, before this, it would seem that the riches were pretty important to Zacchaeus, didn't it? Because he cheated people, took extra money. What seems to be important to him now? Do we see a difference in him? What do we see? A what? Transformation. Yeah. And so Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. And this man is also a son of Abraham. What do you see in this story that would make Jesus say this? He saw his repentance, his change of heart. Is that usually a sign of a transformed life? And he said, this man too is a son of Abraham. Is there any significance there? Zacchaeus is what? Had faith. All right. Okay, he had no more money. And Abraham was known for what? And so there's a relationship there maybe, the faith, plus being Jewish. So, and Jesus, had he preached a salvation message? But still, just being in Jesus' presence and and he saw who Jesus was, didn't he? When Jesus knew his name and recognized him in the tree and invited him to him. What do you think about Jesus? Well, Jesus said, I have come to seek and save those who are lost. Any thoughts on him choosing Zacchaeus? Why Zacchaeus rather than somebody that was in the crowd? He what? Cares about family members. All right. Zacchaeus was the one seeking, wasn't he? And the others didn't see themselves as sinners. They thought they were all right, okay, already, didn't they? Zacchaeus knew he wasn't. You know, when I was thinking of this story, I was thinking about the crowd when they were coming into Jericho. And the crowd was around Jesus. They were following him for various reasons, probably. They'd just seen a healing. And they were keeping a real seeker from getting to Jesus. And a seeker that they didn't like, too. And I was just wondering, if does that ever happen today among Christians, even in our churches, that people might want to know Jesus, but we see them and we don't like them, or they're not like us. They live a sinful life. We consider them sinners, and we don't embrace them. We push them away and maybe are even a stumbling block from them coming to see Jesus. Do you think that ever happens today? Sadly, isn't it? In what ways can we push people away that we don't like or we think are unworthy or they're sinners? In what ways might people today do that? Religion? Church? I'm sorry. Judgmental, yes, yes. Not accept the way they dress, the way they smell. Lack of education. Race. Good. They're maybe a lowly occupation of some kind. I'm wondering if seeing that Jesus accepted a sinner might make a difference in the way that we look at people that we consider sinners. And consider whether am I being a stumbling block to someone coming to the Lord? Because obviously Jesus loves sinners, doesn't he? Everyone. Something for us to think about. Are we embracing everyone to come to Jesus, or are we being a stumbling block to people? You know, I was also thinking about Zacchaeus. Wow, you know, he's pretty proactive, isn't he? He couldn't see Jesus in the normal way because of the crowd and his lack of height. So he thought of a new plan. Running down the street and climbing a tree with his robes flowing and possibly people laughing at him, mocking him, jeering him. But he didn't care what people thought. He was focused on seeing Jesus. Are there things today, do you think, that keep us or keep people from coming to Jesus because they are more concerned about what other people will think of them rather than they're following Jesus or seeking him? Does that happen? In what ways do you see people being afraid of peer pressure today? Any thoughts? Losing friends. That was true in my own life. I was afraid of losing my own old friends. And I did. A lot of them. But I gained a lot of wonderful new ones. Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of ways, you know, in your workplace, are some people sometimes afraid to speak up and let it be known that they're a Christian. Hide it. Don't want anybody to know that they are followers of Jesus. And our teenagers, peer pressure is pretty great for them. So, to follow Jesus and focus on him, it had good results for Zacchaeus, didn't it? So, that's another thing for us to consider. Are we letting peer pressure, what other people think of us at home, in the workplace, in our neighborhood, keep us from fully following Jesus and being His and letting Him be Lord of our lives? Then we saw Jesus stopping by the tree where Zacchaeus was, looking up and knowing him by name. Today, do you think Jesus knows your name? What did it mean to you when you realized that Jesus knew your name, cared about you personally? He stopped what he was doing in order to reach out to you for salvation at some point in your life, didn't he? He was seeking you. And you were seeking him. Doesn't that just warm your heart to know that he knows your name? But then we see the crowd, and they are indignant. They're complaining about Jesus going to the house of a sinner. And salvation came to that man when Jesus went to his house. Do we ever in this world today criticize or complain about people who are going to places that we would consider sinful in order to reach the lost, if God is directing them that way? If we see people going into a red light district in order to reach others, into a bar, other places where there's sinners hanging out for the purpose of reaching them for the Lord, do we ever criticize them? We don't want to hang out with them in those places, but to go to reach them. We need to consider where are the lost? Sometimes I wonder if most of God's children hang out in church or the Bible studies and don't even meet the sinners of the world. Do you think that happens? Yeah. Yeah, if Jesus is going out of his way, stopping on his way to the cross to meet the sinners and find them, do you suppose maybe you and I can go a little bit out of our way to make contact with those who are sinners, whether in the marketplace, in your workplace, wherever, and be a light from Jesus for them? Of course, for me, I love storytelling. It's just such a tool. Who doesn't like to hear a story? I can go up to anyone, a homeless person, anyone, and ask them if they'd like to hear a story. And I've never had anybody say no. And I can tell them a Bible story and about Jesus. So that's my tool. But there's other tools you can use too. So we just saw the end of the story that Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. Have we all been lost at some point? And we saw the transformed life of Zacchaeus. What have you noticed in people today who have become Christians and you've known them before, or maybe it's even you? What kind of changes does knowing Jesus, putting your trust in him for your salvation, what kind of difference and changes in a person's life does that make that you've noticed? Change in values? Core values. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you can think of a lot of changes, I'm sure, in people's attitudes, the way they treat other people, maybe their occupation, their ethics, we see a lot of changes, don't we? We can see it's visible in people's lives. So I just leave you with this story and just with the thought that Jesus knows your name and he cares, he knows everything about each one of us, and he's given us examples to follow in his life. So just things for us to change in our own lives, maybe, to think about and to follow Jesus' way. So thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you, Marty. We spent something like 21 hours, was it? 21 hours. Those who attended the SDS workshop. Last year, I attended my first Simply the Story workshop. I signed up because Pastor Albert said, "Hey, would you like to come?" I said, "Okay." And then I tried to get myself out of it. But then he asked me, so I attended. And I attended the workshop as a skeptic. I wasn't sure it would work. But then after the first day, I was convinced. And I became absolutely convinced when I told the jars of oil story to my son. Joel was 6 years old when I told him the story. After the second time, he could tell me the story. And a few days later, I caught him telling the story to my daughter. He was using SDS on her sister. And I was converted. Okay. And Simply the Story is it actually takes advantage of the fact that we are mainly oral learners. We love to hear stories. It's a powerful tool for evangelism. It's a powerful tool for discipleship. You don't need any books, you don't need any manuals, you don't need any guide, you just need the Bible. That's all you need, you just need the Bible. And hopefully we'll be able to have a follow-up on the SDS training. And next time, you know, do consider signing up, okay, and be trained so that you can tell stories to the people around you. As Marty was sharing the Zacchaeus story, I was reminded, you know, of the fact that sometimes we allow our prejudices to prevent people from coming to the Lord. Okay, people who don't look like us, people who don't speak the same language, and people who, because of the law of this country, we don't want them to hear the gospel. Because of the law of this country. But what Jesus did in this story was that he did not allow any social, cultural, he did not allow any barrier at all to stop him from seeking those that are lost. And church, we have been called by God to be a city on a hill. So we must listen to what the Father is saying to us. If God says stop and talk to this man, then we need to be obedient. Okay, I want to ask the worship team to come up now. And as Marty has said, she leaves us with the message that God knows our name. So we want to sing the song, He Knows My Name. Okay? So. Invite you all to stand as we sing the song. Let's pray first. Father, thank you for reminding us, O Lord, through this very simple yet powerful story of the mission of Jesus, that he came to seek and save the lost. And Lord, that is the mission you left for the church, for us. That if we want to be your followers, then we too must embrace the mission to which you have called us. To also seek and save the lost. For once we were lost, oh God, remind us of that. Once we were lost, but you stopped and you sought us out. Call us by name. Lord, I pray for those of us here, Lord, who are struggling, oh Lord, struggling, oh Lord, to with doubt that you love us, that you care for us. Lord, I pray that you remind us, oh Lord, that you are God who is personal. You are the all-knowing God. You are the all-compassionate God. And that you seek us out, Lord, to touch us, to show your love for us, to show that you care for us, oh Lord. That you are a Father who loves us. I have a Maker. I have a Maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in His hands. He knows my name. He knows my name. He sees each tear that falls,
and hears me when I call.
I have a Father.
I have a Father,
a Father in heaven.
He knows me.
He knows my name. He knows my name. He
knows my name. Every thought. And he sees each tear that falls. And hears me when
thank you, Father, that God, you are God who draws near to us. You are God who is interested in our lives, O Lord. So, Father, I pray, O Lord, that as we leave, Lord, we leave with this assurance, O Lord, that you love us, that you care for us. Help us also to know that you care for those who are still lost, who are still out there, oh God, seeking. Lord, I pray that as you bring such people across our path, O Lord. That God, we will be faithful and obedient, O Lord. To share, O Lord, your love to those who are seeking. That salvation also will be theirs to receive. Lord, I thank you, O Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We bless you, we love you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to pass the time over to Chun now as he talks about the family name.